You know, we've been, well, I haven't been in a series. I only did one lesson on it so far. One time before I went away to Whitehorse for a little time away. But it was a series, we started a series on the acronym GIC, right? Invest, we think about usually with GICs, but it's investing in your character. GIC, grow in character, right? Our theme for 2024 as a church is what? Right. And throughout the year, you're good. Okay, they're waking up slowly. Okay. Throughout the year, we've been discovering how to experience lives that are purposeful, that are impacting, and that are successful in God's eyes, right? As you can see from the outline today, if you've got one, today's topic is about discovering the importance of showing respect. You know, on a cross-country flight, a rabbi was seated next to an atheist. I know, it sounds like the beginning to a bad joke, doesn't it? Rabbi and atheist walked into a bar. No, this isn't a joke. I love this story. The thing is, as they were sitting there, every few minutes, the rabbi's children or his grandchildren would come to him asking if there's anything he needed. Do you need a pillow? Would you like some water? How are you doing? Are you comfortable? And the atheist is sitting there going, wow, this is amazing. Said, I love how your children and your grandchildren are showing so much respect to you. Mine would never do that. And he says, well, think about it. To my children and grandchildren, I'm one step closer to being with the God who created all people, the God who spoke to our ancestors at Mount Sinai. But to your children and grandchildren, you're merely one step closer to the apes. That story, in a not-so-subtle way, communicates, I think, an important message for us. Like those children, like grandchildren, being the people of God should have a profound impact on how we treat people. Especially since we believe that we have all been made in God's image. The most well-known follower of Jesus was Peter, who wrote in his first letter to the church at that time these instructions. He said, respect everyone and show special love for God's people. Honor God and respect the emperor. Now, I'm sure we can all agree there's a growing trend of disrespect today. The world used to say that, you know, people needed to earn your respect before you gave it to them. While today, I've seen that there are viral TikToks teaching young people how to disrespect the older generations. But God says that everyone is to be shown respect. And according to what we just read, that includes the Emperor of Canada. Folks, nowhere does it say this life is going to be easy. That may be a challenge. That last one might be a challenge for a number of us at this time in history. But we're called to follow Jesus, to be become like him. And nowhere does it say that'll be easy. While the Bible tells us to fight injustice, nowhere does it say to fight the unjust. Do you catch that? In fact, the early church leader Paul wrote to the church that was in Ephesus in Greece. He said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This tells me that our battles take place on our knees, not on the picket lines. Paul explains this a little further in the letter to the Corinthian church when he said, the weapons of the warfare we're fighting are not of this world, but are powered by God and effective at tearing down the strongholds erected against his truth. So the real war is not about our rights. It's about what is right. It's about tearing down the lies of the enemy and standing for the truth of God, which is what Peter also told the church to do. He says, always be ready to defend your confidence in God when anyone asks you to explain it. However, make your defense with gentleness and respect. So again, when you stand against justice, you defend the truth, when you share about Jesus, you need to do it with gentleness and respect. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, folks. We honor God when we show respect to one another. And it has nothing to do with whether we feel they deserve it or not. You see, to the early church, if there was anyone not deserving of respect, it was the emperor. The Romans had conquered Israel. They taxed the Jewish people mercilessly. Their justice system was cruel and unfair, and they persecuted the followers of Jesus for not worshiping the emperor as their God. Yet we read Peter's words again. Honor God and respect the emperor. I think those of us in democratic societies have an especially hard time with this, don't we? When the government that's supposed to represent us is working against us. And it's even worse if we never voted for them in the first place. Right? How on earth could God ever want to? I'm leading our country, we'd say. They're evil incarnate, right? Wrong. They're in fact people whom Jesus died for. Just like you and me. And they're fulfilling a specific purpose in the world right now, even if we can't see it. Respect is a character trait that every follower of Jesus needs to have. By it, we honor God and we attract people to him. Today, I'm going to take you to a historic account in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. It's your typical boy meets girl scenario that shows us how important respect is in a relationship, in all of our relationships. In our marriage, our family, our workplace, the church, and with our neighbors. Now, the couple, if you're familiar with it, the passage is our Boaz and Ruth. That's the couple, Boaz and Ruth. Not sure what's happening with it. Keeps popping, shutting off. I'll pull it out here. Maybe it's just... There we go. Boaz and Ruth. Now, this couple, they met under some very peculiar circumstances. Boaz would have been a prime contestant on The Bachelor TV show. He would have. He was wealthy. He owned a thriving business with several employees. He was a hardworking, fair, kind, and generous person. Ruth, however, was a poor, widowed immigrant who had recently arrived in their community. And though she didn't have much in the way of possessions, she was hardworking and loyal. She had accompanied her Jewish mother-in-law, Naomi, back to her hometown in Israel after each of their husbands had passed away. And it seems that when they arrived at Naomi's family home, Ruth was determined to take care of her. So she started to work in the field, of this man named Boaz, right? Collecting grain to feed them both. And when Boaz heard about the respect and the kindness that Ruth was actually showing to her mother-in-law, Naomi, who just happened to be a relative of his, he returned the same respect and kindness towards Ruth. In this story, we can find several ways, I believe, that Boaz and Ruth showed respect to one another that we need to follow if we want to honor God and experience healthy relationships today. Okay? First way, if you pull out that outline, you can fill it in. The first way we can show respect is by admiring strengths. Admire the good things, the strengths in people, right? You know, there's a scene in this account that shows Boaz highlighting Ruth's strengths rather than putting a spotlight on her weaknesses. It's when they first meet, and in one of Boaz's fields, it says this in Ruth chapter 2. "How can you be so kind to me?" It's Ruth speaking. "You must know I'm only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied. "And I also know about all the love and kindness you have shown your mother-in-law." You know, just reading this off the cuff, it's interesting to me that Ruth uses this term, foreigner. I'm just a foreigner, right? The truth is that by using this term, Ruth is actually being very careful and maybe even a little generous with herself. You see, the Moabites, she was a Moabite, and the Moabites did not have a very good reputation with the Jewish people. They had fought against and they had raided the people of Israel for generations. And Ruth, no doubt, would have been somewhat concerned with the fact that her people were scorned and hated by the Jews. What seems to surprise Ruth here in this, what we just looked at, is that Boaz appears to be indifferent to this fact, right? He acknowledges that he knows where she came from, but then highlights her good points, her strength of character, who she was as an individual. That seemed to be all that mattered to Boaz, right? Reminds me of the story Jesus told, the Good Samaritan, found in Luke chapter 10. The Samaritan people were also scorned by the Jews of Jesus' time. Yet Jesus makes a Samaritan the hero of his story through the compassion and the care that he showed to an injured Jew, who quite likely would not have done the same back for him when you think about it. The lesson, though, here is that we can show respect to people even if they don't respect us back. By admiring their strengths and overlooking their shortcomings. The next way we show respect is seen in how Ruth responds to Boaz's kindness. And really, she shows appreciation, right? Which is our next point. For us, it means appreciating people. We want to appreciate people because gratitude is a mark of a good character. And today it seems like more and more people are acting like everybody owes them stuff, right? There's no gratitude. It's like, I deserve this or I need this or whatever. But in Ruth, we find this attitude of gratitude, right? In chapter 2 again, it says, "Oh, thank you, sir," she replied. "You are so good to me. I'm not even one of your workers." I think as followers of Jesus, we should really be reflecting the same attitude, right? Again, it's something that takes work because people are naturally selfish, right? We're selfish beings, and that's why we have to teach our kids to say thank you because they think they're owed it. Because gratitude is a discipline that we have to learn and have to practice. Did you know that by showing appreciation to one another we're actually acknowledging our dependence on each other. You ever think of that the way? Here's a countercultural viewpoint. We need each other. People need each other. Everyone in this world needs each other. It's true. While the world is trying to rip people apart, we need to be coming together. I need and I appreciate people I've never met. I can tell you, I so appreciate all the farmers I've never met who are raising beef just so I can have a steak on my barbecue. I appreciate them so, so much. I appreciate those who are working in the oil and gas industry so I can heat my home and I can drive my vehicle. When it comes to church, I think it's especially true that we need each other in order to be able to follow Jesus and fulfill his purpose for our lives, for each of us. We need each other to help one another grow in that and to accomplish what he's made for us to do. In his letter to the church in Rome, Paul says this: our bodies are made up of many parts. None of these parts have the same use. In the same way, there are many people who belong to Christ, and yet we are one body, which is Christ's. We are all different, but we depend on each other. Paul calls the church the body of Christ, right? That tells me that every single person in this room is needed and dependent on those sitting beside you. So you can turn to your neighbor and say, I depend on you. Go ahead, come on. You may not even know them, but trust me, you do actually depend on them. The thing is, you are unique, right? You are really, I'll use the word, special. You're special. And you are very much needed in order for the church to accomplish God's mission of bringing people back to himself through faith in Jesus Christ. Because there are things I can't do. There's a lot of things I can't do. A lot of things I can do, and my body revolts on me after doing them nowadays. But there are things you can do that I cannot do, right? And there's some things I can do that you can't. That's why we need to appreciate what each one brings to the table, right? We need to appreciate each other, because only together can we actually accomplish great things for God. The next thing we learn from Boaz is that you show respect by appropriating courtesy. You see, courtesy is defined as a polite, respectful, or considerate act or expression. So even the dictionary shows us that being courteous is a way of showing respect, right? In our biblical account, we read this. At lunchtime, Boaz called to her, meaning Ruth, come and eat with us. So she sat with his reapers and he gave her food, more than she could eat. So Boaz here invites Ruth to join him and his workers for lunch. He didn't have to do that, you know. There's actually no law or tradition that I could find that he needed to follow in this instance. For that matter, he really didn't even have to provide lunch for his hired hands, for his workers either. But this shows that Boaz provided lunch because he was a courteous and generous person. Those were his character. He was courteous and he was generous. In a letter Paul wrote to one of his young apprentice pastors named Titus, he tells him to teach the church that Titus was pastoring that they must not speak evil of anyone nor quarrel, but be gentle and truly courteous to all. So being courteous to people is an essential trait of a true follower of Jesus, and a wonderful way of showing respect. Now, the final thing we learn from Boaz and Ruth, I mean, there's a whole lot more, but we'll just stick with this as the last one for today. Boaz and Ruth is that respect is shown quite simply by acting kindly. Can't get much simpler than this, folks. It's been said that a little kindness goes a long way. Anybody atone to that? Yeah. It sure did in Boaz's case, right? Because in the end, he got the girl. Worked good for him. And even more so, he became a part of the lineage of Jesus. You can find his name in the list. But it all happened because of the kind and respectful person that he was. Our text says, when she, Ruth, got up to gather grain, Boaz ordered his servants, let her gather grain even among the bundles. So they had already harvested this stuff. And he's saying, even what you, the work you've already done, let her take stuff out of there too. Don't give her any problems for doing this. Even pull some grain out of the bundles and leave it for her to gather. You know, there are times I think that we can feel overwhelmed by everything we think we should be doing when it comes to living for Jesus, that is, and maybe life in general. But I think that's because we tend to overcomplicate things, right? And that's why one of my core values is simplicity with excellence. As soon as I start to complicate things, the excellence goes down. If I can keep it simple, stupid, the whole KISS pro, you know, thing, keep it simple, stupid, I keep saying to myself, don't you say that to me. Okay, but simplicity with excellence. You know, I've discovered that when it comes to God's kingdom, often what we might consider to be the little things, to God are really the big things. Jesus once said to his followers, this is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing. So the smallest act of kindness to somebody makes you a true apprentice of Jesus, he says, which is really what the church's term disciple means, apprentice. Yes, the work we're called to do as his church is much too big for all of us to do alone. But that should never discourage us from doing what we can do, right? For every kind act, no matter how small, can make a huge difference and will be rewarded by God. I don't recall who it was, but I remember at one conference hearing this person talking about an act of kindness that saved his life. He was in university struggling with life at home, life at school, and had basically called it quits and was going to end it. And came out of the classroom, dropped his books, and somebody helped him pick up his books. And it was like a light bulb went on. Something shifted in him, and he said, it was like, there is good. There's something worth living for. And he endeavored to be that person to help others. And I don't recall a whole lot about it, but it just popped in my head. I remember that story. So maybe that's for one of you here today. Fact is, the 262 times the Bible talks about showing kindness to others. 262 times. In fact, we may never even realize full significance or the impact of our kind actions this side of heaven. Listen to what was written to the Hebrew church. It's very interesting. Do not forget to be kind to strangers. It said kindness, showing kindness, right? Strangers. For some who've done this have entertained angels without realizing it. That's something to think about, isn't it? So why does kindness seem to be so important to God then? We find it 262 times in the Bible, but we need to be kind to others. Well, I think it's because it's actually one of God's own character traits. Paul said in his letter to the Galatians that it's one of the proofs that God's Spirit indeed dwells in the followers of Jesus. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Kindness is nestled right in there, isn't it? And the kindness that Boaz exemplified was the fruit of a life that was dedicated to God, that was led by God. It became a sign of his respect for Ruth and for his workers as well, we see, right? Which, in Ruth's case, eventually led to love and faithfulness, a life together. Respect is an important character trait that is essential for building meaningful and lasting relationships. When we show respect to the people around us, they begin to respect us. And they're drawn to Jesus in us. Because it's really his heart that's being revealed through us. I think that's why Jesus said, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Let your kindness shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I love what Pulitzer Prize-winning author James Michener said. Now, Michener was an orphan taken in and raised by a devout Christian family. He made a wise observation about respect. He says this, I was born to a woman I never knew and raised by another who took in orphans. I do not know my background, my lineage, my biological or cultural heritage. But when I meet someone new, I treat them with respect. For after all, they could be my people. Isn't that good? We need to respect everyone. No matter their background, their lineage, their biological or cultural heritage. For they may be drawn to Jesus through our kindness and become our people. Right? The forever family of God. So if you're here today and you're not yet a part of God's family, you can take that step today by believing in who Jesus is and letting him lead your life from now on. The Bible says, to all who believed him, meaning Jesus, to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So if it is your desire today to become a member of God's family by putting your faith in Jesus, then I'd love to lead you in a short prayer to help you do that. And if everyone could bow our heads at this time, just close your eyes, bow your heads. I'd love to know who I get to pray along with today. So if you'd like to be included in this prayer today, could you please just let me know quickly by raising your hand for a moment? And then you can just take it right back down. Thank you. Thanks. You can just pray, echo this prayer in your heart, and God will hear you and receive you as his child. Dear God, thank you for caring so much for me that you made a way for me to come back to you. I don't claim to understand it all, but I do believe that Jesus is God who came and died for me, taking the punishment for my sin. And he rose again, showing that only he has power over life and death. And that same power can give me a new life with you forever. I confess that I've tried to live my life on my own and apart from you. And by doing this, I know I've missed your best for me. So please forgive me. I want Jesus to be the leader of my life from now on, so that the rest of my life can be the best of my life. Please help me to honor you by showing respect to all people, people that you love and died for. And thank you for making me a part of your forever family today. Thank you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back this time, if you did pray that simple prayer from your heart, God heard you and accepted you as his child. And if you could do me a favor and fill in that Connect card that was mentioned in the video earlier, I do have some resources I'd love to share with you. And even if you got the time and the ability, I would even write down that you're interested in Alpha, in the course that the video showed earlier, because it's a great one to help with those, just understanding and what the Bible's about, who Jesus is, and whether there is a God or not. And it's a great course to go through all of that. And so I encourage you to just fill out your information and to write your interest in Alpha on that, and that you prayed that prayer today. So thanks for joining us today. I'm going to turn it back over to Cole to close us off here, and hope to see you next week.